on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Thursday, October 3rd, 2024 edition, and I welcome all of you for this hour. And my job here, as always, is to help you navigate these interesting times. And we know that we are in election season, we have geopolitical concerns, and there's just a lot to really balance in today's investment landscape. And you know, there's a lot of headlines, and some of it matters and some of it doesn't. And my job is to give you the data and the information that makes sense to incorporate into your thought process, into your investment thesis, and ultimately make good actions, make good decisions with your money based on facts on the ground, not hyperbole. And that's what this show is about. We're not banging bells and whistles. I'm not Kramer here. I am here to try to keep you on the straight and narrow, shall we say. And with that said, one of our jobs is to bring you topics that and deeper dives on topics that are important. And that's what we're doing next Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday, actually 5 days from now, October 8th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And it's our wealth webinar. And it's all about creating effective strategies for your 401k, understanding whether your 401k or workplace retirement account is good or bad or average, how do you incorporate that into your whole financial plan? So we'll look at that as well. So that's what's coming up 5 days from now, at 11 a.m. Pacific time on October 8th. Now, in just a bit, we'll go talk about today's market performance. We'll run down the show topics for today. But first, let's answer this caller question now.
Hi, Justin and Luke. Great show, first of all. I wanted you guys to look at a stock for me. It's a Lincoln Financial. The ticker is LNC. And just tell me your opinion. I would appreciate it. Thanks again for everything you guys do, and a great show. Thank you.
All right. Looking at Lincoln National, they provide life insurance, annuities, disability, and dental products for individuals and employers. And this has been in a downtrend. And that's my first worry is, why is the relative strength so bad? Now, the space has been hurt. You know, look at Humana and United Health, and you know, all of these names have been down on their luck. And so there's some in sympathy move here. But in general, you know, this moved down pretty big back from, let's see, beginning of 2022 down to the beginning of 2023. And that was a bad year for stocks in general. But this move from 75 all the way down to about 22, that was a huge move. And it's moved back a little bit, but overall, the technicals are pretty broken. You don't have much earnings momentum either. So I would pass on Lincoln. I think there's much better options out there. Now we're moving into a break. Still to come in this podcast and radio show on AM 1220 in Silicon Valley area, we can tackle your questions live, but we also will tackle your voice bank questions as well. So stay with me, but give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk, now with 59 million downloads. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a live call. We know we love those from Soma in San Francisco, looking at Cisco. Soma, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Great. You're looking at Cisco. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
No. I own some of them.
Okay.
Whether to hold them or when to sell it or to buy more.
Okay. So Cisco, we know, a very large company. You're talking about a market cap of $209 billion. And a good profitability, good quality business overall, right? And if you look at its chart, it's in a recent uptrend. That's a positive. Now, what do you? I think the first question is, what do you like about the business? Why do you hold it?
Actually, when I bought, it was around 65 or 62.
Mm-hmm.
So now it is down. So I'm just holding them.
Okay, but what is it you like about the business? Like, why did you buy it in the first place?
They were doing good business. I think they were selling a lot of new routers, new silicon one chips, and all. Not chips, but basically the routers.
Okay,
that's why
yeah,
I mean,
and Cisco was doing well, especially during the pandemic. They earned a record high $3.89 in 2023. But so far last year and this year, they earnings continue to ebb a little bit, although they are supposed to rebound next year. So I think that's why the stock has struggled a bit since late 2023. But it is still a good business, has a good balance sheet. It has free cash flow of about $10 billion on a enterprise value of $223 billion. That's a solid 4.5% or so free cash flow yield, pretty good. Dividend yield is at about 3%. What are they doing with the additional cash flow? Well, they are buying back shares. I like that. So return on equity is at 23%, which is a bit below its five-year average. But, historically, its return on equity has been high teens, low 20s, kind of where it's at now. So I think that's about in line with the longer-term average. So I have no issue with it. And once again, the technicals are improving from the kind of malaise it was in for late 2023 into the first part of this year. So the technicals I like, the fundamentals in the business I like. So I would continue to hold it, to be honest with you. I think you just had bad timing when you got into it. Thanks for the call. Now let's pivot to my main focus point today, and that's about the election coming up. We are just, a little over a month away from the election, and there are companies that will benefit and will be hurt by the outcome of the election, whether that is another Trump administration or a Kamala Harris administration. And understanding the impact is going to be vital for your portfolio. But we'll highlight a few companies here that could be influenced by the political outcome, such as what happens with regulators, renewable energy policy, foreign policy, trade policy, etc. Now, the number one company that I think that holds a lot of weight in this election is a company that's done well recently, and that is NVIDIA. And we know that they are a driving force behind the AI industry, the AI trade, etc. And it's well positioned for, I think, the longer term. However, it's trading at premium valuations. You have a forward PE of 42, forward price to sales at 23 plus, and that's both of those are significantly above the sector averages. So they're heavily reliant on continued growth in the business. If growth slows to any reasonable amount, certainly those multiples are going to come down. That's just how this works, okay? So that growth could be hurt for many reasons, including the election outcome, like I said. And, U.S. and China trade tensions will certainly be a big factor here. If tensions heat up, that could unduly influence the intellectual property that NVIDIA has and their ability to sell it worldwide. And, China could be cut off from them potentially. Okay. And that would hurt their leadership position worldwide in the semiconductor space. They also have strategic partnership with Microsoft, and they're aiming to integrate NVIDIA's AI technology across Azure. And that's going to open up new growth avenues for both. And ultimately, if there's some regulatory change that forces Microsoft to pull back from that, from certain markets, that could hurt both companies. Okay. Then there's Snap. They bet big by donating to the Democratic administration. So I think that's something that will, Harris administration will certainly benefit them. Now they are trading relatively cheaply, but, and it's down a lot. So that could certainly be one that benefits from a Democrat win. And then on the flip side, Tesla would probably benefit from a Republican win. Elon Musk has donated heavily to the Trump administration, other Republican campaigns, and you know, the trade policy will likely benefit them as well if you get a Trump administration. Okay. So on the next Invest Talk, we'll look at this story. HELOC, pros and cons, what's right for you in 2024? But we're ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART. Have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. That's right. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your Prize Picks still live. And this is good. Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are safe, fast, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. Prize Picks invented the flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. I've been playing Prize Picks recently, and I have no idea why I waited so long. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code INVEST and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code INVEST on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. Prize Picks is a skill-based fantasy game. Go to prizepicks.com now.
You've got finance and investment questions, and Justin Klein is ready to provide his unbiased answers. Call now or anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 30 minutes or so, and we'll, time permitting, we'll get to all of it. And we already just covered our main focus point. Well, we're also going to cover recessions. And what does it mean? What does a recession really mean? And, you know, if you look back in recent history, there are a couple of recessions, but they were kind of anomalies. So we'll talk about that, what that really means, especially in context to asset prices. We also have voice bank questions that we will get to. One is in regards to NVIDIA and the other is CBS Health. But now let's take a look at today's market performance. And it was overall, it was a negative day. You had the Dow down about 185 points, the S&P down around 10 points, NASDAQ down a little over 6 points. So certainly a mild down day overall. We continue to see issues with the geopolitical tensions in the Middle East. We had some comments after hours when it came to Biden administration and the response from Israel and the United States from the attack from Iran recently on as a retaliation. And so there's a lot of bit of fear around that particular trade. And so I think that will likely continue. But some of the big movers today, you had Tesla down over 3%, NIO down over 7%, NVIDIA was up over 3%. What else? You had Palantir up 4%, and Vale down about 2.5%. So those are kind of the big movers. And really still top of mind is that trade around oil. You know, oil's been down on its luck. It hit around $65 a barrel twice, and now we've bounced back into the low 70s on these geopolitical tensions. And to me, I think it's still underappreciated, under acknowledge that this is something that could continue to escalate, you know, it does. Once again, it's bouncing on this, but there potentially could be a lot more to come. And could you see oil back in the 80s, a higher geopolitical premium here? I don't see why it can't happen, because I don't see anybody trying to de-escalate the situation. And so that ultimately could continue to throw more volatility into markets. I think that's one of the main reason why you're seeing down days recently. Nothing major. There's nothing really telling you that this is a huge problem, but it is sparking volatility. The VIX has gone from 15 to 20 now in just the past week or so. Gold prices have pulled back, or have consolidated, excuse me. But that's in the midst of a rising dollar. The dollar has rallied over the past 5 days as well, in that kind of flight to safety type of trade. And so as long as that continues, and gold drops sideways, that remains relatively bullish for gold, because as soon as you get the dollar coming down a bit, I think gold will take off once again. And so you're definitely seeing a flight to safety here. Bitcoin, interesting enough, not getting that flight to safety bid, actually. So yeah, it was up a little bit today, but still is down a decent amount over the last, last few months. So I think Bitcoin continues to struggle in the midst of a stronger liquidity situation. So clearly it's not a flight to safety type of asset, shall we say. And so that was the market for today. Now let's keep things moving and play another listener question from our anytime listener line at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, it's a great show, but I got a problem with your not recommending NVIDIA. I've made $1 million on NVIDIA already. According to the CFO, Jensen Huang, that demand is through the roof, and there's even some tension among his customers about getting the chips. And then they've got a new blockbuster chip coming out named Blackwell. So they're going to make a lot of money, and I think you're a little off on that one. I would like you to comment. I'm a little confused about, if you get a dividend from a company, does it depend on the amount of money you've invested or the amount of shares you have? Because it seems like a stock like Oprah, which is low price, and you could get a ton of shares versus a media more expensive stock like UPS. It also has a good dividend, but for the money, it would seem like Oprah would be a much better buy, if it depends on the shares. Okay, thank you.
Well, NVIDIA, I don't say NVIDIA is a bad company. It's just more of has the valuation, is, are all those optimistic forecast kind of priced into the market? And I think it, in many ways, it has, and we'll see. Obviously it can continue to go higher if those growth projections continue to stay relatively solid. But as I said earlier in the show, if the growth projections unwind, and that optimism that you obviously have and many other investors have, if that just ebbs a little bit, then obviously the multiples will come down. And so remember, the market is always pricing in bullish and bearish outcomes for the actual underlying business. And the way investors make money is to actually take the other side of the bet that the market is priced in, right? And so and you see this many times in the past, where companies that have done great have a lot of optimism going forward, and they continue to do well. Cisco is always the good example. Is their business continue to do well, but it was priced so perfectly that the forward-looking returns were really bad, even though the business did well. So it's not that, just because you may not say that it's a good time to buy a company doesn't mean that the company is bad or their business won't do well in the future. It's just what is priced in versus the reality of the future. And so that's always what an investor is trying to figure out. Now, when you're talking, your other comment about, I believe it was Opera versus UPS, what you're looking at, is always the dividend yield, right? The price per share, or dividend per share, divided by the underlying price. So for Opera, yeah, it's a $14 stock, but its dividend, last dividend round, is only 41 cents. So you multiply that by four, right? Quarterly, that's about $1.60. and that gives it a nice, let's see. Actually, no, it looks like they pay that twice a year. Let me see what Opera is doing. Yeah, it looks like they pay that twice a year. So that's about 80 cents on $14. And therefore, you know, you're getting about 5%, 5.5%. In UPS, the yield is, it's a higher stock price, $130 per share, but its quarterly dividend is $1.63. So you multiply that by four because it's quarterly, and you're getting, let's see, it's about $5.60 on $130 per share. That's about a 5% dividend yield. And so, you know, both have about a roughly, give or take, a 5% dividend yield. So it's not about the, it's not about what the share price is. And that's the number one lesson you have to learn is UPS at 130 can be a lot cheaper. I'm not saying it is because I have to look in the details, but it can be a lot cheaper than Opera at $14 per share. You never want to look at that. It's always in relation to earnings, dividend per share, the debt on its balance sheet, the sales per share, cash flow per share, profitability metrics like return on equity, return on assets, et cetera. So, you know, you never look at that. You never look at, oh, is it 130 or is it 14 or is it $2,000 per share? That's relatively irrelevant until you look at it in context to the underlying underlying fundamentals. Okay. Now let's pivot over to a question submitted via the YouTube channel. And Jim Leahy says, do you think CSL is a good buy? CSL is the symbol. And this is Carlyle Group, Carlyle Group. And this is an industrial name. And what they do is they make, pull this up here, they manufacture thermoplastic roofing systems, off-highway braking systems, and friction products worldwide. It's a fairly big company here with a market cap of, pull this up here, $20 billion. So it's a borderline mid-large cap name. A little less than 1% dividend yield. Relative strength is nice at 90%. It is closing, did close today right around its 52-week high. So that's a positive. And earnings are expected to accelerate into next year, up 32% in earnings this year and 13% next year. Those are the estimates. A good balance sheet, which I always like in this environment. You have only about $1 billion in net debt. Return on equity, 46%. Return on invested capital, 26%. Free cash flow, about $1 billion on a $21 billion market cap. It's about a 5% free cash flow yield. And it certainly has room to up that dividend. So I think that will happen as well. But they're taking a lot of that cash and they are buying back stock. So that in many ways is a more efficient way of to return capital to shareholders. And I think they're doing that in spades. So I'm going to give Carlyle Group a thumbs up because of the quality balance sheet and quality business overall. Now, this is Invest Talk now with 59 million downloads. Thanks to you. And our work continues in 30 seconds. So hang on.
The newest InvestTalk Wealth webinar is happening online and free in just a few days. The InvestTalk Wealth webinar will focus on effective strategies for managing your 401k and enhancing your retirement savings. Go to investtalk.com and sign up for our upcoming Wealth webinar, October 8th. It's free to attend, but you must pre-register. And please tell your friends.
Hello, this is Daniel in Tennessee. I have a question for you about CVS. There was some news that came out within the last week or so about where they're considering splitting off Aetna, who they acquired in 2018. And I was researching it, and I thought I'd ask you for your advice. I saw when CVS acquired Aetna in 2018 that they paid around $70 billion for them, and I noticed that CVS is now, like, combined with Aetna, is only selling for a market cap of $80 billion. So would that make buying CVS now a good buy, considering if they do split up the two companies, you're basically getting Aetna, which was 6 years ago, or $70 billion, and CVS, which to me seems like it'd be worth way more than just another $10 billion for $80 billion combined. Hopefully that makes sense. Just kind of curious what your thoughts are, if that seems like a good buy, if they do move forward with splitting up the two companies. Thank you.
Well, I definitely understand your thought process there. However, 8 years is a good amount of time. And as we all know, prices of businesses go up and down. So, and we know oftentimes companies overpay for businesses. And what the market is telling you right now is that CVS drastically overpaid for Aetna, because otherwise its market cap wouldn't be where it's at, because we know the rest of their business is certainly worth well more than $10 billion, right? The delta between that 80 that's currently trading out and that 70 billion that Aetna they bought Aetna at. And, you know, another important aspect here is the debt, right? Is that, you know, did they buy Aetna with just cash, or did they layer on debt? And it's not just the market cap, because the market cap is 80 billion, but the enterprise value is 129 billion. So that is debt plus the current market cap. Okay. Net debt plus the current per market cap. So there's that aspect as well. And that's why enterprise value is always a much better metric to look at than market cap, because it's about what would it take. That's enterprise value is basically saying, what would it take to own all the business plus wipe out all the creditors, you know, pay back all the creditors, so that whoever owns that business, there's nobody else standing in line to collect, you know, interest payments or any part of the business that they now own. And so it's very important to consider that debt. And, you know, CVS has a good amount of debt, right? About $48, $49 billion in net debt. And so that's part of the reason why they are looking to spin this off. I think they're looking to right-size their balance sheet, probably spin off some of that debt with the breakup of these companies, and try to split off into two or three different names, spread that debt across, and try to survive and really create a broader, better balance sheet amongst the two or three entities. And so there are many reasons for them to do this, but, you know, your thinking is, I think, overly simplistic and not incorporating that debt aspect. And so it wouldn't be a buy simply because of the breakup. Usually when you see these things happen, it's more of an act of desperation. They can't really find a way to solve the problems that they are that they've gotten themselves into. And that's what CVS looks to be doing right now. So it's out of desperation, not strength. Now let's squeeze in one more question now at 888-99-CHART.
This is Amir from Michigan. I have a question about Carvana. I know it grows rapidly during the past month. I just wanted to know your idea about this stock. I'm looking forward to your response. Thanks so much.
All right, Carvana, and this is an e-commerce platform for buying and selling cars. And this is a name that cratered in 2022. It was down significantly. Let me pull up a chart here. Go to a weekly chart so I can zoom all the way out. Yeah, it peaked out at over $375 per share and hit a low of, let's see, a dollar or so. And now it's all the way back to $176 per share. So quite the round trip. And I always say round trip because it's still well below its all-time high. And frankly, it's getting into some major resistance here at around 190, major resistance at 234. So, you know, could it have some more upside in the near term? I think possibly. But ultimately, this is a horrible business. It really is. You know, it's a return on equity remains negative. It's never really been positive. It has positive free cash flow. That's good. But they have a good amount of debt on their balance sheet. So I don't think it's really worth the value it's at now. And, you know, is for momentum play, you could buy it, but not as an investment. It's just too poor of a business. Thanks for the call. Now we're heading into our final breaks. Get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi there, Duncan from New York, calling about stock ticker Kinsale Capital, KNSL. I would like to put this in my growth portfolio. I follow, you know, a couple of podcasts from a growth standpoint. I know this is an insurance play, so I just wanted to get your two thoughts about it. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, looking at Kinsale Capital Group, and it is a mid-cap name, roughly $11 billion market cap, and it's certainly a grower. $1.24 in earnings back in 2017, and this year, earnings are supposed to be $15.20. So think about that. Just consistent 30, 40, 50% growth year after year. So that's what he's talking about. His, you know, this is a serial growth company. And the chart says it, you know, it's up and to the right. That's for sure. Now, recently, it's been a little choppier. It's hit a little bit of a peak in October of last year. And it's been kind of in this broad trading range between 540 and let's say 350 over the past 6 months since March. March was the all-time peak, 545. And so, you know, its technicals are good, but, you know, momentum certainly weakening. It's telling you that, you know, is there some risk to the multiples that it's trading at? And if analysts are correct, this quarter, you might see that. Earnings are supposed to be up 9%, but that's well down from the 30% growth in the second quarter and 102% growth in the third quarter of last year. And then revenues are supposed to be down 5%. So that's obviously not good. Now, one quarter is only one quarter. It could certainly reaccelerate, and markets are expecting it to reaccelerate into next year. However, not the same level of growth. Earnings this year are supposed to be up 22% and 16% next year. And it had been growing, like I said, 30, 40, 50, 60% per year earnings growth. So, you know, there's always a lot of large numbers here that they're contending with. So that's one issue. I don't mind it because I like the type of business that it's in. Obviously, the insurance business, they have a very good balance sheet, net debt on their balance sheet. They pay a little bit of dividend. They're very profitable. They're taking their $1 billion in free cash flow on a roughly $9.5 billion in enterprise value. That's a strong free cash flow yield. So I like that. So I like a lot about the business. It's just, you know, you do have to worry that growth is slowing, and that could bring multiples down a bit because price of sales is at 7.8. We know anything, you know, approaching 10 is usually pretty hefty. And that would be my biggest worry. So I'm okay with it, but it's certainly higher risk than it's been in the past because of that growth continuing too slow. Okay. Thanks for the call. Now let's touch a bit on recessions. And a lot of people think of recessions and they think of the most recent recessions. Now, the recession is defined by the National Bureau of Economic Research, and it's when a country's GDP contracts on a real basis for two consecutive quarters. And there are other aspects to it as well. And that's why usually the NBER is the one that says, okay, we're in recession. But it's usually in hindsight. Okay. Now, clearly we're not in a recession now. GDP growth still is, you know, 3%. Even if it's revised down, it's unlikely to go all the way to negative, right? And if you look at the previous recessions, one was very, very short. The 2021 was the shortest on record. It lasted 2 months, according to NBER. And you know, that wasn't even two consecutive quarters. It was just two consecutive months. But it was so dramatic that they called it a recession. Now, the one before that was the financial crisis, 18 months from 08 to 09. And that was the longest post-World War II recession that we had. And both had severe shocks. And that's why most people think of that. Those as recessions, and they were, but you know, those aren't typical recessions. A more typical recession was actually 2001, where GDP fell in the first and third quarters, while unemployment rose from about 4.3 to 5.5. Now we're around 4.3 right now, and 5.5 was the lowest level coming out of a recession in over 50 years. So that is a more normal recession. Now usually go a little bit higher than 5.5. But clearly, the low fours in unemployment isn't a recessionary environment or one that really would precipitate a huge drop in equities. And so that's what you have to understand as well. It's just a recession doesn't automatically mean a calamitous equity market. It can just mean a choppier, more volatile period, but doesn't necessarily mean a major drop in equities. Now, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And make sure to sign up for our wealth webinar coming up in 5 days by heading over to investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.